Verse 17, tells you how to build the kior, the wash basin. Now, you notice that the wash basin and the Mizbeach HaKtores are the two vessels which are mentioned out of order. We observed last time that in Parshas Trumo Tetzaveh, the vessels which are mentioned are the Oroin, the Menoiro, the Shulchon, and the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the outside Mizbeach. But, and then the Koyanim are assigned their jobs. And at the end, as an afterthought, in chapter 30, we have the obligation to build the golden altar, the Mizbeach HaKtores, and here, the Kior. This is one question, one problem. The second problem is a problem of the words used in Posuk Yudches, Vasiso Kior Nechoshes, etc., etc. Venosato Isoi Ben Oyel Moyeidu Ben Amizbeach Venosato Shomo Moy. What is the translation of the words Venosato Shomo Moy? You shall put there water. Now, how would you say it if I tell you build a basin, a wash basin, and put, what would be the word? Besoichoy or boy. Either boy or besoichoy. Not shomo. There. How would you say there? You shall put in the basin water. So how would you say it in Hebrew? Venosato boy or besoichoy moim. Why venosato shomo? There. It's not there. It's not there. It's in it, water. So the Meshech Chochma, it's amazing how he puts it together. But the Gemara says two things. What happens, for instance, if there is no Shulchan? There is no Shulchan. Can you bring the Lechem upon him? Can you bring the showbreads? If there is no Shulchan, can't do it, because it's the mitzvah of filling up the table, the Shulchan. If there is no menorah, can you light oil? No, you need a menorah to light the oil. But there are two exceptions to this rule. The Gemara says that what happened if there was no Mizbeach HaKtores, there was no golden altar, would the daily incense still be brought? Yes, it would be brought in a fire pan, in the place where usually the Mizbeach goes there. And the other thing that you would do is, what about if there is no wash basin, if there is no kior? The Koyanim still have to wash their hands and feet. Where would they do it? Shomo, there. So says the Meshech Chochmo. This is the reason why the Torah doesn't say Venosato Goy Moim. Because Venosato Goy Moim may imply something wrong, that you need the vessel, and without the vessel you can't use any water, and that's not correct. So that's why it says Shomo there, as long as the place is right. And this gives us an answer, that's the Meshech Chochmo, why the Torah writes it like as an afterthought. Both the Mizbeach HaKtores and the Kior are written like an afterthought. Why? Not because they are less important. Because it happens to be that they are not conditional to the avoido, to the work, to the act that was done with that particular vessel. This is how the Meshech Chochmo interprets.
He learns the Shulchan from the Kior, or there's a separate word in the Shulchan that he learns that?
Not only the Mizbeach HaZov, you mean.
Mizbeach
HaZov, it doesn't say, but the Gemara says it. But in the Kior, the word Shomo tells you that. Okay, let's go on. We'll skip now to the end of the Maise HaMishkon. In chapter 31, Lamed Aleph, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Re'ei Korosi Beshem, Betzalel Benuri Bechur Benchur Lemate Yehudo, Vamaleo Yisoi Ruach Elokim. In order for Betzalel, the great architect, to build the Mishkon, he has to have Ruach Elokim, Bechochmo, Bisvuno, Uvedas. He needs Chochmo, he needs Tvuno, and he needs Das. So Rashi says, what is Chochmo and Tvuno and Das? In chapter Lamed Aleph, Posuk Gimel, says Rashi, Bechochmo, what is Chochmo? Ma she'odom shoymeya dvorim me'acherim velomad. I teach a child, 2 and 2 is 4, and he understands it, and he absorbs it, he is becoming a chochom. In this particular point, he acquired chochom. What is bino? Bino is when in the information I don't tell him, I tell him some other piece of information. And he derives from the first piece of information another piece of information, that's bino. I told him 2 and 2 is 4. And then I ask him, so how much is 2 and 3? I never told him, and he figures it out on his own. If 2 and 2 is 4, 2 and 3 must be 5. He has bino. Bino, dobor mitoich dobor. This is what Rashi says. Ubetvuno, mevin dobor miliboy mitoich dvorim sheloma. Of course, in mathematics, it's pure seichel. It's pure intelligence. But sometimes you have to use your, sometimes in order to derive one thing from another, you have to use your heart, your emotions make a difference. So that's why Rashi calls it liboy. So what is das? What is das? So in general, before we read Rashi, I'll tell you how das is usually translated. Das is judgment. What does it mean, judgment? Even after you have all the pieces of information necessary, let's say the surgeon, he acquires all the information which is necessary, he knows everything that there is to know, and now he has to make the decision. Should he operate or shouldn't he operate? So now, it's not enough to have the information. Now he has to give relative values, for instance. If I operate, he may become well, but on the other hand, the operation may kill him. On the other hand, if I don't operate, he will not die from the operation, but maybe the sickness will kill him. So what is more important than what? Giving it values. So their intelligence makes no difference whatsoever. It's his scale of values that matter. How important to him is human life, etc., etc. That balancing act is called da'as. Now, the greater your quality as a human being, the better your das is. Obviously, if you need a scale of value, so who should we be a greater bal das? The one who is a better human being. By chokhmo, it has nothing to do with how close to God you are. You can be completely far away from God and be a great chokhmo. You can be a great maven. You can have a tremendous mind and you are able to derive one thing from another. But das, you can only have das if you have a scale of value. What is the highest level of this scale of value? This is what Rashi says. Uvedas, ruach hakodesh. When you can think in terms of what God would really want you to do, to the point that you can actually pick up what God wants you to do. That's having Ruach HaKodesh. What does it mean when a person has Ruach HaKodesh? That he has insights into the will of God. That is Das. This is why Rashi calls Das is Ruach HaKodesh. So this Bezalel, when he had to make decisions, he made decisions that actually he was able to pick up what God's will was, as we are going to see, that's already in next week's portion of the week. And then he goes on to say, Posuk Dalet, Lachshoiv Machshovos. Now, we have said everything that there is to say about Bezalel. He has Chochmo, he has Bino, he has Das. What is this Lachshoiv Machshovos? So Rashi says, Lachshoiv Machshovos has to do with a certain skill of weaving together certain things. But you can't get away from the simple meaning of Lachshoiv Machshovos. What is the simple meaning of Lachshoiv Machshovos? Thoughts. Thinking thoughts. What does it mean? So, Cheshev O'Eifoid, yeah. Right. So there is Cheshev O'Eifoid, of course, does mean that there was a certain skill in the weaving that was called Cheshev because it required a Machshovos. We even spoke out when we spoke about the Cheshev Ho'efoy that it had to do with the Machshove of Avodah Zorah. That's Misaki Machshove. So where is Machshove? What does Machshove have to do with this? It says in a Medrash the following. people gave gold, right? So they gave gold. So I gave gold, you gave gold, everybody gave gold. I gave wool, you gave wool, everybody gave wool. But the wool and the gold and the silver, they went to different places. Some gold went into the Kodesh Kodoshim, and it went straight to the Orin Kodesh. Right? Some gold was used for other things. Was there any connection between the giver and where the material that he gave ended up? It says in the Midrash, yes, that Bezalel had such an insight that when he received, when he would pick up a piece of material, he would know exactly this piece of material belongs in the Kodesh Kodoshim, on the Orin. What does it depend on? You know, what was he picking up? He was picking up the thoughts of the giver at the time of the giving. The purer the intention, the purer the thought, the less of an ulterior motive, the more worthy the piece of material is to be a part of the Kodesh Kodoshim. Where is it hinted in the Torah, that skill? Lachshoyv machshavos. That Bezalel was able to be choshev, to think about the machshavos of the giver at the time of the giving. This is where it's hinted. Let's go on to Posukut Beis, because this is already the end of the chiyuv to build the Mishkan. And now in Posukut Beis, Vayimar Hashem al Moshe lemor. Ve'atov daber of Nei Yisrael lemor. Ach, eshav soysay tishmoiru. But, sure you're building the Mishkan, but be careful, don't be Mechal Shabbos, keep the Shabbos. Says Rashi, what is the connection, what does it mean, ach? Even though you want to build the Mishkan, Shabbos al titche befoneo, says Rashi, be careful with Shabbos, because Meleches HaMishkan is not
even though it's very important,
it's Shavsoisai Tishmoiru. But, sure you're building the Mishkan, but be careful, don't be Mechal Shabbos, keep the Shabbos. Says Rashi, what is the connection, what does it mean, ach? Even though you want to build the Mishkan, Shabbos al titche befoneo, says Rashi, be careful with Shabbos, because Meleches HaMishkan is not Toiche Shabbos. Even though it's very important, it's not Toiche Shabbos. This is what it means when it says, Ach, Eshav Soisai Tishmoru, keep the Shabbos. Why? Ki ois hi beiniu beineichem lederoseichem. Shabbos. Why? Ki ois hi beiniu beineichem lederoseichem. Because it's a sign forever. For what? Lo das, that you should know. Ki ani Hashem mikadishchem. I am the one who gives kedusha, who gives holiness. So I saw in the Sfasemes, very, very amkesdike insight, a very profound insight. He says the following. What does it mean? Because I am the sanctifier, ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. In order for Hashem to sanctify something, to make something kodosh, Hashem has to have an input into it, which means something which is made by Hashem can be sanctified by Hashem. What about if you would believe, like Aristotle believed, that space and time is eternally old? You know, the Rabbi Mimoyre Nebuchim brings down the opinion of Aristotle that the Oilom Kadmoimu, the Oilom, the world, which means time and space, is Kadmoim, is as old as God. Aristotle believed in God, but he believed that time and space are as old as God. What do we believe? We believe that even though we can't conceptualize it, God created time and space. Breishis Borei Elokim doesn't mean only God created in the beginning. Breishis Borei Elokim actually means God created the beginning. That before there was a world, there was no time. So what was it? I don't know. But there was no time. Time is something that Hashem creates, which means that time is not an absolute. Time is not eternally old, and space is not eternally old. Lemainach kemine, what difference does it make? Enormous. If time and space are eternally old, there couldn't be any kedusha, any holiness, neither in time nor in space. Why? Because the sanctification of either time and space reflects God's input into time. If God creates time, so there is a trace of that creation in the fact that God consecrated, sanctified time. What is the trace of God's creation that sanctifies time? Shabbos. Shabbos is the sign that God is a sanctifier. Okay? Now, what would be in space the parallel of Shabbos in time? The tabernacle, the Mishkan, or eventually the Beis Hamikdash, Yerushalayim. So what comes out according to this? That both the Mikdash and Shabbos are the both signs that God created both space, Mikdash, and time, Shabbos. This is why we always find an interconnection between the Mishkan, the Mikdash, and Shabbos. They always go together, like for instance, or here, we finished telling you to build the Mishkan immediately, but be careful, don't transgress Shabbos. Again, together, and it's more. How do we know what things not to do on Shabbos? Because they did it in the Mishkan. Again, the interconnection, because essentially, they are the same thing. What? Ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. It must have a connection with Hashem in order to be Kodosh. If time and space had no connection with Hashem, they couldn't possibly be Kodosh. This is Fasemes inside. Then it says like this. In Posuk Tesvov. Sheishes yomim yeoseh melocho. For 6 days, yeoseh. Doesn't say ta'aseh, like it says, In Parsha's history, for instance, Sheshes Yomim Tavse Melachtecho Vayimashvi Shavas Lashem Elokecho. It says Sheshes Yomim Yeyoseh Melocho. What is the difference between Ta'aseh and Yeyoseh? Ta'aseh is active. You shall do work. Sheshes Yomim Tavse Melachtecho. 6 days you shall work. If it says Yeyoseh, Yeyoseh doesn't mean you shall work. What does it mean Yeyoseh? Work should be done. Okay, so what would be the exact translation of Sheshes Yomim Yoseh Melocho? For 6 days, work will be done. Uvayoyim Hashvii, Shabba Shabosoyim. What does it mean, Shabba Shabosoyim? In Parshas Yisrael, it doesn't say Shabba Shabosoyim. Over there, it says only Shabbos Lashem Elokecho. What is Shabba Shabosoyim? So Rashi says, what is Shabba Shabosoyim? In Posuk Tesvov. Menuchas Margoya. What does it mean, Menuchas Margoya? An actual tranquility. Rokua, tranquility. Veloy Menuchas Aroi. Menuchas Aroi means you work, you are tired, you rest. That's not what Shabbos is all about. Shabbos is much more. It has to be something Margoya, something deeper. Not only the negative state of not working. It has to be an actual positive state of tranquility. Says the Torah Tmimo, it's an amazing thing, a beautiful observation that Torah Tmimo makes. He went through the Torah Tmimo, every place in the Torah where this, when the Torah speaks about Shabbos, and he found the following rule. Whenever the Torah says, Ta'aseh melachtecho, Ta'aseh, you shall do your work, the Torah concludes with Uvayoy Mashvi Shabbos Lashem Elokecho. Once Shabbos. Whenever the Torah says Yei Oseh Melocho, work shall be done, then the Torah writes Shabbos Shabbosoyim, a double language of Shabbos. Why? So he comes up with a beautiful explanation. Why? Because the point is like this. Some people in this world are physical workers, bricklayers, farmers. So for them, how will the Shabbos be sensed? How will you experience the Shabbos? If you stop working, it's Shabbos for you. Right? So when you say Ta'aseh Melocho, who are you describing? Sheishes Yomim Ta'aseh Melocho. We are talking about somebody who digs ditches, somebody who farms, somebody who does physical work. So for him, he can fulfill Shabbos by just not working. Shabbos. Shuvah, stop working. But there are some people in the world who don't work during the weekday either. What does it mean? They're intellectuals, people who sit and learn, people who study philosophy, who mean they're intellectual, that their work is completely intellectual. So they don't do physical work. So what about physical needs? It's done for them. Yeyoseh. So all they have to do during the week is make sure that somebody does work for them. How will they experience the Shabbos, says the Torah Tmimo? If the Shabbos is only not working, they can't feel the Shabbos. I take out this book during the weekdays, I take it out on Shabbos. In what way is my Shabbos different than the weekdays? So for such a person, there is no choice. He has to find a deeper level in Shabbos. He has to find Shabbat Shabbosoy, Menuchas Margoya. You hear how he learns? He learns that the Torah is describing two different types of people. A physical worker, for him it's sufficient just not to work. But someone who is an intellectual worker, so in what way will the Shabbos be different? It has to be Shabbat Shabbosoy. But in reality, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that the reason why sometimes in the Torah it's written Ta'aseh Melachtecho, and sometimes it says Yeyoseh Melocho, is because we are talking about two different eras in Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael Oisim Retzoinoi Shel Mokoim, when the Jews are at the level that God describes them as doing the will of God, Melachton Nasis Alidei Acherim, work will be done for them. So we are describing a higher level of Klal Yisrael. So that higher level of Klal Yisrael will reach Shabbat Shabbosai. But when it says Ta'aseh Melocho, when it says that you shall do work, what are we describing? A situation when we have to do work. When we have to do work, that means that our spiritual level is lower. If our spiritual level is lower, then the Shabbos is not so high. It's not Shabbat Shabbosai, it's only Shabbos. Okay, so this is what many Meforshim say. This is brought down in the Meshech Chochmah, is brought down in the Sfasemes, is brought down. This difference between, it's based on Chazal, between Oisim Retzoinoi Shel Mokoim and Ein Oisim Retzoinoi Shel Mokoim. So, according to this, what will come out then? It will come out that whenever it says Ta'aseh, it's not describing the highest possible level. The highest possible level is Yeyoseh Melocho. How would you expect the first Luchos to be, what would it be? What would you expect to find in the first Luchos? Yeyoseh, wouldn't you expect to find the Yeyoseh Melocho in the first Luchos? Remember, the first Luchos is when the Jews are in the highest possible level.
When they went there,
just
they had to
learn. Sure, but that's because they broke the first, Moshe broke the first Luchos, and they went down from that spiritual level. But during the 40 days, they were in the highest possible level. So therefore, sure, it's said Yeyoseh, according to this principle that we are saying, what the Gemara says, that when the Jews, Oisim Retzoinoi Shel Mokoim, they don't have to work, work is done for them. So of course, in the first commandment, you should find the Yeyoseh. Surprise! You don't find the Yeyoseh there. There it says clearly Ta'aseh Sheshes Yomim Ta'aseh Melocho. And according to the principle we just said, it's contradicted. You hear the kasha? I'm reading from Parshat Yisroi. Chapter Chof Zochor Eshiyam Shabbos Lekachoy Sheishes Yomim Ta'avoid Ve'osiso Kol Melachtecho Sheishes Yomim Ta'avoid Ve'osiso Kol Melachtecho V'yoyim Hashvi Shabbos Lashem Elokecho. Ta'avoid Ve'osiso Kol Melachtecho is not Yeyoseh Melocho, right? So that contradicts what everybody's, what the Meshech Chochmah says, what. So I found that the answer is the following. You know, in the Meforshim it says a reason why, when the Jews are in a very, very high spiritual level, God doesn't want them to work, and work will be done for them. what could possibly be the reason? Is there anything wrong with physical work? There's nothing wrong with physical work. Says, God wants people to do physical work. So why is it that when the Jews are in a very high spiritual level, it doesn't go together with working? Why? Because, says, say the Meforshim, the Torah obligates us a melus betorah, which means working very hard to find out what God wants us to do. Somehow, when a person is completely immersed in trying to find out what God wants him to do, there is no time to work. It's just too time-consuming. Therefore, the Torah must allow you to enjoy benefit from the work of other people. There's no choice. Not because there is something essentially wrong in work. You hear this? The reason is because there is simply no time if a person is completely immersed in Torah to do other things. Not because doing other things is essentially wrong. What about if I tell you that this whole concept of amelus betorah, which means working extremely hard to find out what God wants you to do, is a concept which started after the second glucose. Again in Chazal. If Hashem would have just given us the first glucose and not the second glucose, you know how a Jew would find out the solution to any of his Torah problems? You know what it says? You would look at the glucose, and the light of the glucose would be the answer to any question you have. That's what it says. The first glucose were, since they were inscribed with the hand of God, what does it mean? That anyone who hit the level, the spiritual level, to actually look and see the words, he would get the answer to any of his problems. That's what it says. The Jews didn't maintain that level, so the words disappeared. The Jews weren't able to reach the level of seeing the words. The words flew away, so to speak. And the second luchos were already inscribed by Moshe Rabbeinu, even though it says it was the writing of God, but it was chiseled by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. That, what does it mean? That in order to reach the Emes, you have to work yourself. You have to work yourself. So from the second luchos on, it becomes a necessity. You really want to reach a higher level in Torah, you have to work hard. Yogati umotzosi. Only after you really work hard, then you can get whatever you get. You hear this concept? So it comes out according to this. When will the concept that if the Jews are in a very high level, they don't have to work, when did it start? Obviously, only after the second luchos. Because after the first luchos, there was no concept of amelus betorah, of having to toil in order to derive Torah laws. Because according to Chazal, you can look at the luchos and get the answer. So by the first luchos, is there still room to work and serve God at the same time? Sure. This is why by the first luchos it says, Tavoid v'osiso kol melachtecho, and there is no contradiction to the fact that in the second luchos already, once you reach a level of oisim retreno shel mokoim, and you have to work hard to get to the truth, there is no time to work. So therefore, both are correct. And therefore, there is no contradiction the fact that by the first luchos it says, Tavoid v'osiso, and it doesn't say, Yosem melachot. Okay, one, yeah.
That going into practice is concerned, the greatest rabbi also worked as well as studying. They were on a much higher level than we are now.
Not necessarily. You know, it's a machlok, like it says, Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler, Rabbi Yochanan the shoemaker. Right? So there are many, many Meforshim who say that he was known as Rabbi Yochanan the shoemaker because before he became the famous Rabbi Yochanan, he used to be a shoemaker. So that shows that there's nothing wrong with being a shoemaker. But once he became the famous Rabbi Yochanan, he wasn't allowed to become a shoemaker, because it says that anyone, a parnes hamemune al hatzibur, he should not work, because that cheapens his status by the masses. Right? And even the Rambam says that when a person reaches the level of not vor ruchoi, when he's completely immersed in Torah, such a Jew doesn't have to work. Even the Rambam. The Rambam is the greatest exponent of this point of view, that every Jew has to work. But he said, but when a person is completely immersed in Torah, even the Rambam agrees that he doesn't have to work. Let's go on now to Posuk Yudchet, the last Posuk in chapter 31. Vayitein el Moshe kechaloisoi ledaberitoi. And when Moshe, when Hashem finished speaking to Moshe Behar Sinai, he gave him shnei luchoi soilu. So on the surface, just on the surface, what would you say? When is this happening? That Hashem gives him the shnei luchois and tells him, go down. Which date was it? Chronologically, which date is it exactly? Remember. What?
6 months later.
Can't possibly be. Remember, why? 40 days after Shavuot. You hear? The luchos weren't given in Shavuos. That's a mistake that everybody makes. The luchos weren't given in Shavuos. What was given in Shavuos?
Aseret
HaDibros. Now the luchos. You hear? It's a mistake. Everybody thinks that luchos were given on Shavuos. Incorrect. The Aseret HaDibros were given on Shavuos. Seventh day of Siva. So when were the luchos given to Moshe? Here, take him down to the Jews. When was this? Shivoser Betamos. 40 days later, Shivoser Betamos. Clear? So this posuk, chronologically, posuk yudches, vayitein al Moshe kechaloisoi ledaberitoi, after he gave him the course of 40 days, he tells him, here it is, go down. So which date is it? Shivoser Betamos. So Parshas Trumo, the Tzave, and the beginning of Kisiso must have happened between which dates and which dates? Between the 7th of Sivan, Shavuos, and Shivoser Betamos. Clear, Trip. When else? It has to happen before Shivoser Betamos, and obviously it happened after Shavuos, because it's Moshe Rabbeinu receiving from Hashem. So, obviously, Trumo, the Tzave, and the beginning of Kisiso is going on within this 40 days. Clear? Wrong, says Rashi. Take a look in Rashi. Suppose if you fit. Vayiten el Moshe, says Rashi, don't pay attention to the chronology here. Ein mugdom u'me'uchor betoiro. Don't pay attention to the chronology. The Torah is not following here the chronological order. Now, listen carefully, because it gets a little bit difficult, and how Rashi proves that the Torah couldn't have possibly been following the chronological order. Why? Because Maase Oegel koidem letzivui meleches amishkon. Because now we are starting with the story of the golden calf. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, he sees the golden calf. And Maase Amishkon must happen after the golden calf. How? We know when the Maase Amishkon happened. Sheharei biyutzayim betamuz nishtabru aluchos. When were the luchos broken? On the 17th day of Tammuz. That's one of the five reasons why we fast on Shivoser Betamuz. And after that, Moshe Rabbeinu, when was he given a second chance to go up to Har Sinai again after Shivoser Betamuz? A month and a half later. You know when he goes up the second time? Rosh Chodesh Elul. And you know when finally Hashem accepts the apology? Yom Kippur, 40 days later. And you know what happens when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, Mimochoros, the day after Yom Kippur? What commandment does he give the Jewish people? To build the tabernacle, to build the Mishkan. And the Mishkan is built the first day of Nisan, already almost the second year. You hear? Right? It was completed the first day of Nisan, Hanukkah HaMizbeach. Ma'aseh Oegel Koidem Tzivui Meleches HaMishkon Yomim Rabim She'arei Biyutzayim Betamuz Nishtav Raduchos Uviyom HaKippurim Nisratz HaKodesh Baruch Hu Lishrael U'Lemochros Yischilu B'Nidvas HaMishkon V'Hu Kam Bechot B'Nisan. Period. Now, if you have my Humoshim, I don't know other texts, but our Humoshim here have a parenthesis right after that. And in this parenthesis it says the following, Tzorich Iyun, Tumor. Whoever wrote it, we don't know exactly who it is that the printers added to the Rashi, but it must have been something so important that they said, well, we can't skip it. So I don't know if it's here, it's not, but in many of the Chumashim you have an addition. Because it says, sorry, we don't understand this Rashi whatsoever. Now, it gets a little bit complicated here. How does Rashi know that the Torah is not in chronological order? Maybe it is in chronological order. What bothered Rashi? What was the basis for Rashi's decision that the Torah is not in chronological order? Because we know when Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jews to build the Mishkan, when is that? The day after Yom Kippur. When did Hashem tell the Jews to build the Mishkan? The day after Yom Kippur. And that's long after the Eger. So why couldn't it be simple that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu the details of the Mishkan when? Before the Eger. When did Moshe Rabbeinu say it to the Jews? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say a word. Once the Jews built the Eger, Moshe Rabbeinu kept quiet and he waited with the same cover until the day after Yom Kippur. Do you hear this? If so, there is no problem with the chronology at all. Parshas Trumot and Tzaveh are only telling you what Hashem told Moshe. When did Parshas Trumot and Tzaveh become known to the Jews? True, after Yom Kippur. But Moshe Rabbeinu knew it before the Egel. I just want you to understand the question which he asked. Now, this is just such a strong question that he doesn't give an answer. No answer. We remain with the difficulty on Rashi. Rashi made up a distorted chronology, and we don't understand what forced Rashi to do it. Okay? The same question Ramban asks, and Ramban just says, no, it's not like Rashi, and the truth is that there is no problem with the chronology at all. Trumot and Tzaveh were given to Moshe when? Between Shavuos and Shivosor Betamuz. Then comes Maase Oegel on Shivosor Betamuz. Then comes Vayakhel Pkudei, which is the fulfillment of the Mishkan, and that comes out when? After Yom Kippur. Are you following the chronology? It gets a little bit complicated. Clear? So that's the Ramban. So the truth of the matter is that whoever wrote this addition didn't realize that Rashi just follows his opinion, which is the same opinion as the Ramba, which is the same opinion as the Sifornim, which happens to be the same opinion as the Medrash Rabo. The Medrash Rabo, the Shmoish Rabo, right here on the spot, if you open up any Medrash Rabo on any part of the Mishkan, you will see something of this sort. I mean, I didn't bother bringing it, but I mean, anywhere. Why did Hashem require so much gold for the Mishkan? Because the Jews misused the gold by building the golden calf. So let the gold that was misused be used for the Mishkan. What do you see clearly? That the whole Mishkan was given as a rectification of the sin of the golden calf.
What could it be?
Sure, but if so, if that couldn't be. Which means it is machshavah. But in reality, Moshe would have known the refuah before the makeh, then the makeh becomes a necessity. I mean, Hashem is taking away the free will of the Jewish people. That's impossible. Do you understand what I'm saying? Once we accept that the Torah, that the whole idea of the Mishkan is just to rectify the sin of the Chet HaEgel, so obviously it can't possibly be that there was it followed the chronological order, right? And many more things. According to the Medrash Rabo, and there's something that we believe, that when did the avoido of the B'choiros cease? When did Hashem take away the avoido of the B'choiros? The avoido was for the B'choiros. When? After Maase Oegel. When are the Kohanim assigned? Before the Maase Oegel. So that proves again that what? A Mukdom Amukhar B'Torah. We have here a distortion, a chronological distortion. That's Rashi's opinion. Fine, so the Ramban is a whole shot, but I'm just telling you that according to Rashi, it's no problem at all. We have no problem with Rashi. And Rashi's opinion is like the Rambam's opinion. The Rambam in the Moira Nebuchim says that the reason why the Jews were commanded to limit their korbonis only in the Mishkan is because they couldn't be trusted to bring korbonis outside of the Mishkan. Why couldn't they be trusted? Because look what they did with their Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. They spilled an egel, so they couldn't be trusted. So what do you see from the Rambam? That the Mishkan is given
as a way to make sure that the Maaseh is not repeated, so it has to be right after the Maaseh. Okay? So Rashi Shit is 100% clear. And of course the Ramban Shit is a different Shit. The Shem Yishmuel says that if you pay attention, it's true, he brings down the Midrash Rabbo. And he says the Midrash Rabbo is clearly like Rashi, except that the Zohar consistently is like the Ramban. So really the Machloik is the Ramban in Rashi, is the Machloik is the Midrash Zohar with the Midrash Rabbo. The Midrash Rabbo is clearly like Rashi, that everything that was built in the Mishkan is only a rectification of the Chet Egel. And the Midrash Zohar is clearly the Ramban, that the Mishkan would have existed anyway, and it has nothing to do with the Chet Egel. It just became used for a rectification of the Chet Egel afterwards, but the original application preceded the Chet Egel. Okay? So, alright, so we'll stop here.